Welcome to the first episode of this podcast, Route 24/7 Sports Talk. I'm going to go under six topics today in our first episode in our pilot. Start off topic number one. Just want to introduce myself and give a little background and what this podcast is going to consist of. So basically, I grew up in a small town in Northern Virginia my whole life, and when I was 8 years old, I found my passion in sports. You know, I played sports growing up all my life, and I just fell in love with it, both playing it and watching it, and I would even consider myself a sports junkie. Honestly, I live, breathe, eat sports. I love it. I could talk about it for hours and debate upon it. Just give you a little, like, understanding. You know, I'm not like most people say. A lot of my friends think I'm a bandwagoner, but like with my sports teams, but just to give you a little understanding, they're about the main sports we'll be talking about on this podcast is football, soccer, baseball, basketball. So that's about four sports, because I don't really follow hockey. I'm not really into golf. I've kind of gotten a little into the MMA, UFC a little bit, but you know, I'm not an avid fan. Tennis, not really into. So, recently, like, in hockey, of course, I'm not really into it either. I can't get into it. I've tried watching it. It's just not fun. Now, playing a game like NHL, that's different, but anyways. So, and I'll start out with, now, I love all the sports I just listed, but my favorite team of all is, I'm a dire Dallas Cowboys fan. Now, I know if you're not a Cowboys fan, you're watching this, you're like, oh, fuck this guy. I already know he's going to annoy the hell out of me, because you know, everybody thinks that is Cowboys fans. A lot of people hate the Cowboys fan base, so I'm a dire Cowboys fan. I fell in love with the team because my dad, my family's actually split. It's me and my dad that are the Cowboys fans, or America's team as I like to call them, and then the rest of my family is Redskins fans, so. But I bleed the silver and blue. For baseball, I'm a Boston Red Sox fan, and that's only due to the fact that my dad's side of the family is from New Jersey and Boston, and you know, again, the whole family up there north is Red Sox fans, and so big Boston fans. For soccer, I'm a Manchester United fan. Now, I've only been recently following, like, I played soccer half my life, and I loved it, but I never really followed it, like, watching-wise. I never could really get into it, so, but over the last, like, 3-4 years, I've really, really gotten into it. Each year, I've progressively gotten more and more and more and more interested into it, and watched it and kept up with it avidly. And, my uncle and my cousin, I give tribute, to why I follow Manchester United, because they're big soccer fans, and they watch the Prem all the time. My cousin was actually, the goalkeeper for his high school team, and so they're big soccer people. They're kind of turned up with some of the other sports nowadays. They're more so watching soccer, so they got me into it, and I fell in love with the team. I love the Red Devils, and and last but not least, for the NBA, because I'm not big into college. Like, I like college football, but that's about it. Like, I've never been into college basketball, and I don't really know why. I just never been able to get into it. I know everybody gets big into March Madness, just never was for me. Never could get into it. But college football, I go through phases with college football. Like, I'm a Notre Dame fan, again, through my dad. But I just always go through phases. Like, sometimes I'm more into it than other years, and I don't know why. So, but I'm not really into really any college sports, but for the NBA, now everyone's going to be like, all right, so he's a Cowboys fan, he's a Manchester United fan, he's a Red Sox fan, Notre Dame fan, football team fan, and now you're all going to laugh when you hear oh, he's a bandwagon basketball fan too. I'm a Lakers fan, but let me get this right, I'm not a LeBron fan. I've hated LeBron my whole life. I've never been a LeBron guy. Everybody crowns LeBron as if he's the greatest player of all time, and I could argue against that case 10,000 times ever. I've never thought he was the greatest player of all time. In my opinion, on that, on a quick note, you can't crown yourself the greatest player of all time while you're still playing. Like, that just automatically, I think, like, dequalifies you as, like, being in that conversation. Plus, I mean, titles matter too, and LeBron hasn't done too well in the finals, so. But, yeah, I'm a Lakers fan. I'm a big Kobe fan. I have made my peace with LeBron, though. I don't like LeBron. I guess I don't hate him anymore. He did come to my team, but he's not a Laker. He'll never be a Laker in the fans' eyes. He'll never be a Laker. We're not going to say, oh, like, screw, fuck off, LeBron. Like, we don't want you. I mean, I'll take LeBron, like, and I'll be okay with him as long as he brings his shit. If he doesn't, then it was just a waste. But I'm a Kobe fan, and the reason why I became a Lakers fan is because when I was a kid, because I'm the youngest, in my family, and my older siblings, they had a Nintendo 64, and they had the game NBA Courtside 96, like Kobe Bryant edition. And I just, as a little kid, just always playing as the Lakers, just with Kobe and Shaq, and throwing oops to Shaq. And I just, you know, as a little kid, I fell in love with the Lakers. And ever since, I've been a fan. You know, I've been a ride or die Lakers fan. Even through the last 6 years, it's been shit. You know, we go from winning, we're used to championships. And, you know, even LeBron getting on this team couldn't get us back to the playoffs. So let's hope for better days. But anyways, I just want to introduce myself a little bit to start this off, and basically, we're talking about a lot of sports. We'll occasionally talk about, you know, some video games and things like that, but mainly sports and everything that's going on in the sports world. But anyways, that, just want to get that out of the way first, and go ahead and start on my second topic. Which is going to be the Manchester United debacle. Now, a lot of people have a lot of opinions on this. Like, I have so many different opinions. Like, I'm personally, like, I'm a big United fan. Like, I watch all their games. And I stayed up because, like, my sleep schedule's all fucked, you know. Nocturnal and shit, I swear. Like, fucking got a lot of insomnia. Bitch, right? Anyhow. But I stayed up and I watched that game. It was like an 8:30 game. You know, I'm thinking, you know, we did just get knocked out of the round, this quarterfinals to Barcelona. But, you know, we're playing against Barca. We're in the Camp Nou. Like, it would have been a miracle, let's be honest, if Manchester United somehow massively fucking knocks Barca the fuck out. Like, I would have been ecstatic, but I also was being realistic about it. Like, the chances of that were, like, slim to none. Like, our best opportunity of beating Barca and knocking them out, we had to score at home. We had to get a goal at Old Trafford, and we did not play well enough at Old Trafford. And I think that just sealed our fate, because nobody just goes to the Camp Nou and just, you know, destroys Barca. Like, they had to do it at home. And, you know, like, the way I looked at it is, like, yeah, you know, you never want to lose like that, but the thing is, they're not, like, you can make an excuse for United, because they're not, like, I think sometimes people fail to realize, like, United's not what they used to be. They're not even remotely close. They don't have the quality of players, you know. Since Sir Alex Ferguson left, it's been a 6-year, like, drop-off significantly, and, you know, I mean, you gotta think about it, like, there was 20 years of greatness when they had Sir Alex Ferguson. I mean, they had the likes of Giggs, Scholes, Rooney, Ronaldo, the Neville brothers, David Beckham, Solskjaer, Dennis Irwin, Berbatov, and the list just keeps going on and on and on. I mean, they had great players, and they had not had those kind of players in a long time. You know, the last 6 years, I mean, it's dropped off. I mean, I would only say right now, United has about 2 world-class players. And you got to think about it, United, there's 3 top clubs, like the 3 top clubs in all of Europe in soccer, or no particular order. I mean, some may say one or the other. I'm just going to list them out. There's no particular order for me. Real Madrid, Barca, and Manchester United, the top clubs in all of Europe, European football. And I just feel United has just, the standard for United has dropped off significantly since Sir Ferguson has left. I mean, they've gone into shambles. I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, everybody knew, obviously, it was going to happen after, you know, Ferguson left. I don't think anybody ever expected this to happen. I mean, the first mistake they ever made was hiring Moyes. And it just all went downhill after that. You know, I always fear when I watch all this, watch all these videos, and, like, I watch a channel I recommend if you're a United fan to watch. It's a fan channel, The United Stand. You know, they got rants and stuff, and Goldbridge is who I primarily watch, Mark Goldbridge, and a lot of people, I like him. He's got some strong opinions, but, you know, a lot, he makes a good point, and, you know, I've heard Gary Neville say the same thing on Sky Sports. You know, a lot of people don't fail to realize that the same time they lost Sir Alex Ferguson, they lost David Gill, who's the technical director, so now they have Ed Woodward, who's a former banker, who the Glazers, which, if you know anything about the Glazers, they don't give two fucks about the club. They just care about, all right, are we going to make more money, or, like, are we making more money, or are we saving money? That's all the Glazers care about. They don't care if we're winning or not. So, Ed Woodward, he's good at the commercial side. I'll give him that, but he's not a soccer guy. He's not fit for that job. You know, he's got too much already on his hands, so, you know, and they've never replaced him, and I think that's just been deteriorating the club for years. But, you know, after Moyes got sacked, then you had Van Gaal, and Van Gaal, that was just terrible. Like, they always try to find, like, easy solutions to fix it, and the problem ran deeper than just the players and the coaching. I mean, honestly, it was like with the board. And then after that, they had Mourinho. And I know a lot of people have strong opinions about Mourinho, but I personally, I'm a big fan of Mourinho. Mourinho, as Neville says, as he always says this, and I agree with him. I know Goldbridge is very negative on Mourinho. But the one thing you got to say about Mourinho is Mourinho's one of the best cases. Arguably the best coach in the last 20 years. And Mourinho always says this. That second, and I truly do agree with him, that second place finish last year is maybe the best, but it's one of the best achievements of his career. I mean, that club had it's basically the same team they had last year. And they're significantly worse. I mean, they had no business, you know, being in second place. They got lucky. And they might even make the Champions League this year. So, you know, I think Mourinho just got fed up. You know, he was going through a constant power struggle. You know, the board made the mistake. You know, the moment they decided, like, if they're going to give the man the contract extension, right, and then you're going to, so you sign him to his new contract, you got to back him in the window. You can't just not back him. And then you always, everybody knows about Mourinho's third season. So, you know, the board at Roma is naive. They made that mistake, and that's on them, you know. So, but, you know, this season, like, it just was a complete, I mean, it started in the preseason tour. I mean, like, some would say Mourinho should have been fired, you know, after that first press conference in the summer tour when the man's sitting there going out and be like, you all should not waste your money on these games. Like, I wouldn't waste my money. Like, you know, United, the big clubs like Manchester United, Real Madrid, Barca, they come to America because, and for the preseason tours, because they're trying to market and get more fans. You know, they're trying to draw more fans, draw more interest to their clubs. And, you know, it's for a marketing strategy, you know, because it brings them more money, obviously. And, you know, that's all the Glazers care about. So, you know, that's something you shouldn't be saying. I mean, just in general, too. Like, and all Mourinho did was bitch about his son not getting the signings. I understand him being frustrated. Like, they say all you want about Mourinho, they definitely needed a center back. They have it in Lindelof, but who else is it? Who else do they got? Jones, Smalling? I'm sorry, Phil Jones is garbage. He's not good enough to be a Manchester United player. Chris Smalling, I'm good with Chris Smalling as a third, fourth string cornerback, but or center back. But he shouldn't be playing any other time. Like outside of that, like he should not be a regular starter. They need a same with Ashley Young, shouldn't be a right back. I mean, the way I have it listed out is, if you ask me what United need, like for team player needs, I would say they need a striker. Because I don't think Lukaku's touch is terrible. He's not good enough for the Prem. I think he would be perfect in the Italian league. Honestly, he would. I think that would be perfect for him. It's a lot slower pace. The Prem's too fast. His build-up play is atrocious. And he just doesn't have the touch. Basically, Lukaku's good. He's a great goal scorer, but he's good for... And you cross it into him, cross it to him into the box, to his feet, and just as a simple shot at goal. But they don't do that. I see Lukaku more out wide than in the box, which makes no fucking sense. So, I'd say move on from Lukaku and get another striker to pair with Rashford, another fast-paced striker. They definitely need a right winger. I like Lingard, but he's a bench player at best. Don't get me wrong, I like Lingard, but he's a bench player. He's not consistent enough to be a starter. He doesn't have the quality, and he's not good enough as a player to be a regular starter for Manchester United. And Juan Mata, he's too old. You know, I like Mata too, but he lost. He's no pace left. It's time to move on. I'd say they need another center mid. Pogba needs, you gotta surround, Pogba was at his best, everyone's like, oh, well, Pogba, he's great at France, you know, because he's, surrounded by all those great players, and it's not even just about that, he had a great pairing with, with France, with Nicola Conte. In that World Cup, people don't realize, Pogba is not a defender. He can do it, but that's not a strong suit. Pogba's, to get the best out of Paul Pogba, you got to put him in an attacking position. You have to. You got to put him in an attacking position and have him up the pitch. He doesn't want to be, and he wants, likes to be on the left side of the center of the midfield. He's best probably as a cam, used as a cam, and honestly, I don't think United don't lack the quality to use him in that role, so they have to play more back as defensive, and it hurts the team overall. So I think they need another world-class center mid to pair with him, because they don't have the players, and then also a CDM as well. Nemanja Matić 3-4 years ago would have been good enough for United, but he's not good enough. Why do you think Chelsea sold him to us? I mean, they're like, oh, if United wants to pay this much for him, on his down decline, hell yeah, you can have him. He's too slow for the Prem. He's too old, he's too slow, he can't keep up, and with how bad he plays now, because of, he's gotten older, and he doesn't lost all his pace, and, can't keep up with the fast, pacey players of the Prem, it's hurt United, and it's caused them to concede more goals. I'd obviously say they need a center back, that's a given. They already got the one in Lindelof. I think a Koulibaly or a Varane or even a Toby Alderweireld. They just need someone solid, good in the air. Even a Kostas Malinovskis to solidify that center back pairing with Lindelof. Because Lindelof's good on the ball. He's just not good at the heading part. And then obviously I'd say right back too. Definitely need a right back. Ashley Young. People he's not like Ollie, stop picking him. He's not a right back. He's a winger. He's a winger. He's a converted wing. He's a converted winger to fullback. He's terrible, and he can't even cross anymore. So, how many positions? One, two, three, four, five, six. That's six positions they really, really need, and then some more. So, they really need to overhaul the whole club. I mean, I could give you a list of players that need to go. Jones, Mark likes to call Deborah Essie. Jones, Rojo, Lukaku. Mata, Sanchez, Young, Darmian, Valencia, who else? Matic. Some would say, I think McTominay, I would put him out on loan. I don't think he's quite there yet. We've seen flashes, but I think McTominay on loan would really do him some good, for especially for United. That's all I can really think about off the top of my head. I mean, that's what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's 9 players that gotta get sold. I think that need to be, like, gone, and then 1 going on loans. That's 10 players. I mean, that's not even all of it. I mean, the ones that really need, that's more the Deadwood FC, but, I mean, this, Ollie's right. You know, I think we all got, like, swooned over by this, you know, that 3 months, but they're not anywhere close to competing with the likes of Liverpool and City and these other top clubs in Europe. They're not remotely close. They're about 2-3 years off. I mean, they can maybe get there in a year, to see, maybe a year, but the thing is, the board's not going to spend the money, and Ollie knows they're not. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. I don't trust that the board is competent enough to do it. Now, I'm hearing rumors that Phelan might get the technical, be the director of football, which that would be, I do like that idea. I do. Gets Edward off of that. Edward would no longer be doing that stuff, but I don't know if that actually will happen. So, I mean, one can only hope, but I mean, the thing is, I was reading an article earlier today, and I was reading about, because obviously, you know, a lot of backlash come off that Everton loss. And let me just make a quick note on the Everton loss. I've watched a lot of games. Say all you want about the Mourinho era at United, but I never saw us get play that bad under Mourinho. We never got embarrassed like that. I don't know why what was going on. I mean, the players just looked like they were playing for themselves. You could tell they couldn't give two fucks. And you can't slam Pogba this time. Like, Pogba was one of the few players where I would say you could tell he actually was trying. The players, I would say, like, Martial definitely didn't give a fuck. Lukaku didn't. Rashford didn't. Matic played terrible. Dalot played terrible. Fred played pretty well, but then he takes Fred off. So, you know, Phil Jones and Smalling played terrible. Young played terrible. Basically, and De Gea didn't have a good game either. So the whole team played pretty well. Pretty bad, I mean. So, but to lose, like, Everton doesn't beat anybody 4-0. Like, to lose to Everton 4-0 is just straight embarrassing. Like, I don't know how you excuse that. It's inexcusable. It really is. Honestly. So, I don't know, but they got to play City at 1 Wednesday, and they really need a bounce back. Like, I know everybody's talking about how, you know, oh, let's just lose the game, like, so Liverpool don't win the title. No. United can't afford, like, see, I can maybe be on board with that if had Arsenal, Chelsea, and Tottenham all not lose. Yeah, we lost, but all three of those teams losing, United are still alive for top four, and that is a big priority for them. They need to go for top four. They gotta make it happen. And losing, you know, they, and after that Everton loss, you definitely are not, don't throw that City game. Definitely don't throw it. So I think United's going to come to play against City, but that's. I mean, there's this fundamental problem at that club, and I think a lot of it, some of it's with the players. I mean, sure, I mean, you know, the players might not agree with Ali's tactics, blah, blah, blah. Like, some people might not like Ali, think he was the wrong choice for manager, but at the end of the day, like, it's not all on the manager. The manager can't go out and perform. The players have to. And you see too many times where those players' heads are on, like, putting their heads down, and tell them with two fucks about the team. And it's unfortunate. Like, you're playing for one of the greatest clubs in the world. You just don't give a fuck. I mean, problem is at United, they're paying too many shit players. High salaries. Like, Sanchez, think about it. Alexis Sanchez, since he's come over to United, that big signing, right? Just a swap deal with Arsenal for Mkhitaryan. Which I think it has to go down as Mourinho's worst signing. And no doubt. No doubt. Like, I think they strictly made that signing just because they didn't want City to get him. Because he was probably going to go on a free transfer in the summer to City. I tell you what, I bet City's glad now that they didn't get him. I mean, I truly don't understand how his form dropped off, but anyways, like, that much. But, I mean, Sanchez is the highest paid player in the league, right? He can barely get in a match because Solskjaer doesn't trust him. He's done jack shit. And, you know, like, he scored, what, 4 goals? I mean, you get the big deal to come to United. You know, you had a big rep at Arsenal. You're a great player at Arsenal. You played for Barca, you really get a Barca. Get the number 7 shirt, get the highest salary, and you score 4 goals in 2 years. It's just not acceptable. Like, it's time to get... He needs to go, but the problem is they're going to have a trouble getting rid of him because of his salary. His salary is too fucking high. And that was the mistake the board made. And now every time a player comes, like, Goldberg always says, and Goldberg is dead. And they shouldn't... Like, De Gea and a Paul Pogba, these kind of players, they should not ask anything less than what the money... The starting point should be what Sanchez makes. But the thing is, Paul Pogba and David De Gea have earned that. Sanchez has earned nothing at United. He doesn't deserve to get paid that. He's done shit since he came to the club. So. But, you know. I think United have to get the cancer. Whoever is a part of the problem, like the cancers in the locker room, they gotta get them out. Whether it be, even if it is a De Gea or a Pogba or Martial, Rashford, whoever it is, they gotta get them out. Because their team will never get better if those players are still around. Like, Ollie will never succeed. I want to see Ollie succeed. He's a nice guy. Like, I like him. But the thing is, he's only going to succeed if the board back him. If he's allowed to get to purchase the players that he needs to make this rebuild. I'm not really sure what else to say. I mean, like, damn, United, they got a long way back. They really did. They got a long way back to getting to where they were under the Sir Alex, during the Sir Alex Ferguson days. Without a doubt, they got a long way to go. I mean, hell, I really don't see. It's gonna be a 2-3 year. Project. And the question is, are they going to have the time to do it? Are they going to give him the funds? Are they going to get him the players he wants out? Are they going to get him out? You know? But I don't think they can afford to lose a De Gea or a Pogba. They can't lose those guys. Not for a second. These players are too valuable. I mean, as a fan, I'm worrisome. And anybody should be. I mean, to lose 4-0 like that at Everton, that's just embarrassing. Like, I didn't even finish watching that game. I was just like, fuck this shit, I'm going to bed. That was how bad it was. I was just like, you know what? I stayed up for nothing. Like, I'm going to go to bed now. I was fucked up. Like, that was interesting to watch. You know, the players were so lethargic. And you could tell they could give two fucks. So, you know, let's just hope one can only have to have a response, but I don't know this whole thing. Like, there's this big theory that, yeah, but this is, it's not a theory, it's legit. I mean, ever since Ollie's been hired as a full-time manager, they've been terrible. I mean, they really have been. And I don't know why. Now, I was reading, like I was saying earlier, I was reading an article earlier today, and one, in the article, it stated that, their fitness level, like, physical and cardio fitness, it's just not there to, like, play the kind of stuff, the tense play style, like, high press, counter-attacking football that Solskjaer wants. Like, Mourinho obviously was not, you know, getting them into that kind of fitness. Because Mourinho doesn't, he's a defensive-minded manager. So, but, and Ollie's obviously an attacking manager, like, high press, counterattacks, so. But, I mean, and now, like, it was only inevitable. I mean, let's just be honest, like, dude, those 3 months were amazing. I mean, we all know those 3 months were amazing. They were crazy to watch. But I think we all knew, like, just sure Mourinho, oh god, I meant Mourinho wasn't getting the best out of the players, but at the end of the day, we all knew that Mourinho wasn't wrong about everything. Like, they needed better quality players into that squad. And without those players, they were going to be a long ways off. And, you know, like, the form dropped off, and United looking actually worse than before Mourinho got sacked. And I don't know why. I don't know if the players have turned on Ollie already or what, but, you know, my thing, I was watching a video earlier today, and I saw they did a little interview with Pogba yesterday, I believe, about the game, and after talking about the game and everything, and he said all the right things. I gotta be honest, I like what he had to say, the whole interview. He said all the right things. All the things you want from, like, potential captain. And I think he should get the captaincy next season. I don't think he leaves. I mean, we've been seeing this for 2 years, that he's gonna leave. We're always hearing the Real Madrid links. We're always hearing the Juventus links. I don't think he's going anywhere. Not at all. So then we're... I think he stays at United regardless. I think Pogba wants to succeed at United. I think he loves the club. Plus, I just don't see United letting, like, why they wouldn't sell him. Now, De Gea is another story, obviously, because, like, he's going in the last 12 months of his contract. This should have never even happened. Like, this man deserves a contract. He should be getting paid what De Gea... They should give that man a blank check, honestly. I mean... That man he's an incredible goalkeeper. I mean, you could argue, like, maybe his form hasn't been the best of late, but it really hasn't been the same since, like, the World Cup, if you really want to be honest, but De Gea has been someone for that club. And you could argue, if he's not, he's arguably the best, if not, he's one of the best goalkeepers in the world. He definitely deserves to be getting paid more than Alexis Sanchez. Let's just be honest about that. I don't want to see them sell him. But at the same time, I won't be mad at De Gea if he lets you the hands and leave him. De Gea's done so much for the club, and if they don't want to pay the money he obviously deserves, then I totally respect him leaving. Yeah, this shouldn't even be a debate. Like, De Gea has earned his money. You know what I mean? So, what did Sanchez do to earn that kind of pay? So, but... I really don't think back on the Pogba thing. I don't think Pogba leaves. I don't believe that he leaves. All I've been hearing is all the time that he's gonna leave. Like, I always hear that. I don't think Pogba's leaving. Like, Real Madrid really, really had to make United a sweet, sweet deal. I think we're talking about like a Tony Kroos, someone like that would have to be included in a shit ton of money. I just don't think Real Madrid's gonna do it. I don't think Pogba's not a Galactica. Pogba is like, I would say, a four and a half star player. He's not a five star. Like, there's only like two true five star players, I think, in the world of football in Europe, and that's Ronaldo and Messi, and there's no one even close. Like, Neymar, Hazard, guys like that, they're at 4.5. They're not quite there at the five. They're not that level. They're not they're special, but they're not that level of specialness, so. But Pogba, I'd put in that same category. But, I mean, Pogba's just getting fucking pissed off of having to carry everyone, honestly. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him at all. To be 100% honest with you, should be pissed. Every right to be. So, I mean, they don't have anybody around them. They don't have good enough players. Everyone just cares about themselves now. But let's just, we got a game tomorrow, and hopefully, you know, we can turn it around. Honestly. Alright, on to, you know, move on to the next topic. We're talking about the NFL, and the NFL draft is coming up this Thursday. And, there's a lot of speculation now that, Kyler Murray, the Cardinals are no longer, they're not going to draft him. They're going to stick with Rosen and feel it out. I mean, I understand that. Now, I could see both sides, like, and if my thing is, if you're the Cardinals, if you're not getting a first-round pick back, like, no one's willing to give you that first-round pick, and it's not a decently high pick, I wouldn't do it. I'd just keep Rosen. I mean, yeah, you clearly saw something in him. You clearly did. You draft him that high. Like, I think he was a top-10 pick. So, just last year. I mean, yeah, Rosen had a bad year, but, like, the thing is, this is the thing about these rookie quarterbacks. Like, and it's not even just, it's all sports nowadays, professional sports. Like, they expect these young guys. You know, the thing is, not everyone's going to be, like, I'm going to have to give an NBA example. Not everyone's going to be in the, coming to, like, the league, like, and be like a Ben Simmons and, like, make that kind of an impact. The same goes for, like, the NFL and all sports. Some players take a little longer to develop, and especially the quarterback position, like, most quarterbacks take a little bit while to develop because, you know, that's the most important position on the team. And, you know, you gotta learn the playbook, learn all the coverages and, you know, what plays work here and what plays don't work. And, you know, Rosen's biggest problem in his rookie year was timing. You know, he was just a little late on his throws. Yeah, not knowing when you gotta throw that through, put that pass maybe two, three seconds early. So, I don't know. I think it's, if I'm the Cardinals, if you're not gonna draft Murray, you got two options. You either trade the pick and accumulate more picks, like more assets, which I think the Cardinals should highly consider because the Cardinals are rebuilding. They got a young quarterback. If they're gonna stick with Rosen, regardless, they need the picks. I think they're honestly, like, that's the reason, another reason why I don't think they draft Murray, because if they don't, they can't accumulate a first-round pick for Rosen, or, like, a first-round pick, or some other things. Like, the Cardinals have so many holes on their roster. They need a receiver, they need all these other positions. Like, they're fucked if they draft Murray. Like, if they went ahead and drafted Murray and, you know, couldn't get Coop up a first-round pick. That's why it makes perfect sense to them just either trade that pick, not draft Murray, obviously, trade that pick, or if you're going to keep the pick, I'd say you draft Nick Bosa. He's a great pass. He's a good young pass rusher. He's the brother of Joey Bosa, who's obviously, we know, is a good pass, really good pass rusher for the Chargers. Come out from Ohio State just like Joey. And then you got a perfect pairing there with Chandler Jones, who is a pretty good down pass rusher himself. So I'd keep the pick. And now we're hearing, well, either way, it really doesn't matter. I mean, the team's going to do what they think's best, obviously. I could see both ways, but, like, I think for the Cardinals, it makes more sense to trade the pick. Because they're in a rebuilding, if they're going to keep Rose and everything, they're in a rebuilding mode. They need a lot. They can use all the picks they can get. Get all the guys they can get. They need the young guys. They need the assets. So, I think trading down might be the best option for the Cardinals. And now, I was just reading earlier, John Gruden loves Kyler Murray. Now, that one I thought was kind of funny because I don't think Derek Carr's, like, ever really been John Gruden's guy. Like, there was two key moments where I knew, like, Derek Carr was never going to be a future. He's, like, his career at the Raiders were numbered. His days as a Raider were numbered. I mean, two instances. The one play where he got sacked and was, like, legitimately crying. I just don't, like, everything I read and heard, I don't think he rubbed his players, his teammates off the rut. He rubbed them off a little bit in the wrong way. You know, he's the quarterback, he's the leader. And he definitely, I don't think, you know, he rubbed Gruden off in the right way. And number two would be, Gruden didn't draft him. He's not Gruden's handpicked guy. And Derek Carr, albeit a nice guy, he has not been the same player since before, since he got that injury. I think, he ruptured his Achilles or something like that, maybe torn patella. He has not been the same player since. And now he's been terrible. I mean, that was that infamous season where the Raiders were 12-4 and they made the playoffs. And the end of the season, Derek Carr got fucking hurt. And looked like everything was up. And then Derek Carr comes back and he's never been that same player again. And he may never be. Maybe a change of scenery is good for might be good for Derek Carr. Who knows? Maybe he'll, you know, maybe he'll just end up being like his brother. But the point is, John Gruden, I don't think he believes in Derek Carr, and I don't think Derek Carr is his guy. John Gruden wants to get his own guy. And maybe Kyler Murray is that guy. Maybe it's Dwayne Haskins. Maybe it's Daniel Jones from Duke. None of us really know. But the Raiders definitely have the draft capital to trade up anyways. They got, obviously, 3 first-round picks from the Khalil Mack trade. They got one from Chicago this year, and then they got one from Dallas in the Amari Cooper trade. So they got some picks. They definitely got the ammunition to trade up if they really wanted to. And I don't think it's a guarantee that Kyler Murray goes number one anyways. I definitely don't. So, but, I mean, I don't. I think that the team that ends up getting Haskins, in my opinion, is going to end up being the Giants. I think the Giants, as crazy as Gettleman may seem, like, I understood why they traded Odell. I know some people never understand that, but, like, Odell is like an Antonio Brown. Like, that's how I describe, like, for example, or like a T.O. Like, nobody's going to doubt this, disagree with me when I say this. Like, if you know anything about T.O., T.O. was a great receiver. But why do you think he played on so many different teams? He never lasted. Because T.O. was a cancer in the locker room. He was a prima donna. He only cared about himself. Yeah, sure. T.O. loved winning. So does A.B., right? But the difference between those guys and everybody else is those guys want to win, but only, you know, if they're good. They only care about, like, winning's great and all, but only if they got, you know, 15 catches for, like, $1.50 or more yards and two to three, four TDs. I mean, that's all they care about. And if they don't have that, and they win, they're not happy. So, if their cancer's in the locker room, and Odell's the same way. Odell's been a problem for the Giants for years. I mean, honestly, I think it was the right decision. I mean, yeah, like, talents like that don't come around too often, but sometimes, like, you know, talent isn't everything, and sometimes, like, when you create such a distraction off the field, like, you know, you are talented, you are a good receiver, Odell, but Giants felt like you're no longer worth the risk. I definitely, like, there's, like, we're not naive, we all know the Giants got a plan, and I don't know what the hell that is. I definitely, like, they're not gonna, like, get them and they say, but they're not gonna have Eli pass this year. Like, Eli, everybody knows Eli. Like, they're not naive. Everybody knows Eli will pass this prom. What they're gonna do is they're gonna draft a fucking quarterback and let him sit for a year, which is probably a good idea. Probably be Haskins, let him sit for a year, learn under Eli, and then Eli will maybe he retires after this year, and after the end of this year, and then Haskins takes over next season. This is not obviously this one's upcoming, but his sophomore campaign. We got a year of learning under his belt. I think too often these young guys come in too soon, and some of them flourish, but some of them it fucks their career over. And you know, maybe it does for if they draft Haskins and he ends up playing. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. But I would sit him for a year, like, honestly. But I mean, I'm really interested to see though about the whole how the whole Kyler Murray situation plays out, because if the Cardinals don't draft him, then I don't know who's gonna draft him. Maybe the Dolphins. Who else? Maybe, I don't know. I mean, teams are limited. I mean, my thing is, like, if the Raiders trade up and draft him, that means Derek Carr's traded draft night at some point during draft night. He's gone. He won't be on the roster next this season at all. So, which, I mean, I think Gruden should give him another season, personally. Let Derek Carr prove you wrong. You know, he's got the weapons now. They got a much better team. They'll probably have a pretty decent draft. One would hope. So, you know, I'd give him another chance. I'd give him the year. He does that shit. Draft 2 or something like that next year. You know? So. Also, I was reading earlier today that Dallas and Amari Cooper are engaging in contract talks, which is good. You know, I think Dallas is pretty clear. Dallas wants to get their guys locked up before the season. They clearly want to get they were acting quickly on D-Law. They're trying to get Amari's deal done, and I definitely think they want to get Dax done now. And I think that shows a lot of faith and confidence that this front office and this Jerry Jones have in Dak Prescott. They believe in him. And I will say, yeah, sure, I'm a little biased as a Cowboys fan, but I do think the flack on Dak Prescott is a little unfair. I mean, I think it's like Romo. Romo was not a shit quarterback. I know a lot of people would say, like, oh, you're fucking crazy. You're just a Cowboys fan. You know, kiss this. But no. Like, go look at his stats. Go actually watch his highlights. Romo was a pretty goddamn good quarterback. He just had a team. And we had a team. And shit. He got hurt. That's why Romo was so upset that year Dak went and blew everyone out of the water. Because, like, when Romo got hurt, because, like, Romo knew that this is the best team I've ever had. Like, some may say we might actually, you know, maybe gone farther. Maybe we beat the Packers if Romo was playing. Maybe not. I don't know. Dak deserved the right to start that game. As much as I loved Romo, Dak deserved to start that game. You know, he got them to a 13-3 finish. It's a franchise record. I mean, he earned it. You know, he's a fourth-round pick. Plus, like, it's just like Brady. People were Brady, like, nobody wants to see, like, the media, nobody wants to see this fourth-round pick, like, those late-round pick quarterbacks succeed, so, I mean, it's rare. I mean, true. Dak's no Aaron Rodgers, like, arm talent-wise or as a passer, but or Mahomes, and you know what, he's never going to be, and he doesn't need to be for the Cowboys to win. There's one thing you can't deny about Dak Prescott is that he is a fucking winner. He's proven it time and time again. Two of the years, Dallas, in two of his 3 years, Dallas has made the playoffs. His rookie year, 13-3, I'm sorry. His sophomore year, they went 9-7, missed the playoffs. But you gotta think about the whole Zeke situation and all that shit blew up in their face. And I think it fucked the team morale and fucked them over. And honestly, I think that's the only reason why they didn't make the playoffs. If Zeke was never suspended, which, by the way, I still say, I would say this is a bullshit suspension. If Zeke's never suspended, they make the playoffs, without a doubt. I truly feel. And then, so I mean, Zeke's that kind of a player for them. Like, he in the win shares, he probably wins them a game, like, two to four games, I'd say. It's like, since he's been in the league, probably won him about 2 to 4 games, because that's just how good of a player he is. So, and then last year, like, what, 3-5 in the midway point, which is, like, we all thought they were missing the playoffs. They go on an incredible run. They finish 10-6. They make the playoffs, and then they win against Seattle. Dak gets his first playoff win, and then the debacle against the Rams. But, you know, I was disappointed, obviously, with their young team. Like, they're still, like, developing and stuff. That's a super young team. So, I know, of course, they're out there predicted. I just have it. Well, it's just because the media knows, like, every year they predict us to win. They always fucking do terrible, so. They always, like, it just seems to be the trend, and then when they predict us to do good, we do terrible. So when they predict us to do bad, we make the playoffs. When they predict us to do good, we miss the playoffs, so it makes sense. But, I mean, I think Dallas is doing this everything the right way. The last 5, 6, 7, 8 years, they drafted so well. They have. The last 10 years, they've drafted extremely well. You know, they built that offensive line. The defense is getting really good again. They've drafted well. And, I think they're getting, every year they're getting better. Like, I liked a lot of the offseason moves they did this year. You know, nice veteran signing. It's not your typical, like, Dallas free agency the way they've been the last few years. Randall Cobb, I love Cole Beasley, he offers a lot, but Randall Cobb, you can only just use Beasley in that slot. He's a great route runner, he's precise, but Cole Beasley offers more versatility. Now, I would say he's probably a better slot receiver than Cobb and Cole Beasley, but versatility-wise, another thing, Cobb offers you so much more. Of course, you get another year of Mar, you get Jit Witten back, and then the whole defense, and then Robert Quinn, I like that addition. You know, I think it's Kerryon Hyder, I like that one. Chris Covington, they made some really good signings this year, and George Iloka. I still think they draft a safety, I think maybe as high as that second round pick. But I think Dallas is building that team for a Super Bowl run, and I really believe that regardless, unless they win the Super Bowl, Jason Garrett's gone. Because I think Jerry's just like, I've given you all the free, so I've given you like almost 10 years as the coach. You have what, 3 playoff wins? Maybe 2? I've given you 10 years in the job, I've given you the team. You still haven't won it. Like, everybody thinks Jerry's just content with not winning. Like, no, he's not. Like, the man, yeah, sure. He's gotten 3 rings on his watch since he's been there. Jerry's hungry still. He wants another one. And Jerry will do anything to do it. And if that means getting rid of Jason Garrett, I do think Jerry Jones will fire him. If that's what needs to be done, he will. He's given Garrett plenty of time. He's been very patient with him. And I think Jason Garrett's a good coach, but he's not the coach that's going to get Dallas over the hump. At the end of the day. He's just not. So, maybe it'd be a good thing, but anyways, on to, gonna move on to the next topic here with the NBA playoffs, and then I'm gonna give my own personal predictions, like, for finals and how these rounds are gonna go. So, what do we got? The Celtics just, swept the Pacers. So we got that. Which, I mean, no one, now that I'm not surprised at all. Like, I always knew once the Celtics got to the playoffs, they would be fine. I mean, my prediction for the East is the Celtics will get out of the East. I don't think Milwaukee's there yet. Now, Milwaukee, yeah, they got Giannis, they got that young team, but they're not there yet. They need a couple years. They need a couple playoff runs. They don't have the experience. Boston does. Boston does. And I think Boston is Golden State's biggest threat in the Eastern Conference. I just don't think Toronto. Toronto's going to do what they always do. They're going to get knocked out. They're going to blow it. I could see Philly knocking them out because I think everybody, we all know Philly's going to knock. I mean, the Nets maybe get another game or two out of that, and that will be the end of that. So, but, you know, this has been a crazy playoffs. I'm not surprised about the Portland series. Like, it just, Paul George, man, he made a mistake, man. Like, I mean, sure, I'm a Lakers fan, but, like, come on. Like, Paul George isn't naive. Like, he knew you're never going to win a championship with Russell Westbrook. I just don't think Russell Westbrook, the way he plays, they'll ever win a championship. I'm not a fan. I think Westbrook's been overrated. Like, look, he has a great player like Paul George. Like, I mean, Steven Adams still can't get anything done. So, it'll be another first-round exit for him. I mean, I think they need to just blow the team up, honestly, if I'm real Oklahoma City. Just because, like, start new. I mean, honestly. Like, they won't do that, but I think Portland, post-Portland gonna play. They'll play, what, either the Nuggets or the Spurs. I think, it might go to seven, it's gonna go to six or seven games, I feel like, between, it's definitely gonna, it might go to seven games between those two teams. It's at least obviously going to six because it's tied 2-2, but it might go to seven, but I think the Nuggets come out of that, and at the end of the day, and then we'll have obviously the Rockets and the Warriors. I think the Warriors got them in six. I think the Rockets will give them a run for their money, but they won't beat them. So I honestly, it's been a crazy playoffs, but at the end of the day, my prediction stands. What I've been telling my friends, like, I think it's Boston and Golden State. I don't think, you can't pick against Golden State until somebody knocks them out. You can't. You're just too good a team. I mean, when you got Kevin Durant, like, you got two top five players on your team, and then you got, like, you know, Boogie Cousin all on, like, they're fucking loaded. It's unfair. Like, nobody's gonna, like, Boston has the best chance, and Boston might not even beat them, so. That's if Boston's playing their best ball and playing to their capability. But, so I got a prediction of, my finals prediction for this year. It's going to be, Boston and against the Warriors. And I think I want Boston to win, but I got to say, I think Warriors win that again, and they'll win that in six. And KD will obviously leave and everything, so. The end of the Warriors era it'll be the end of the Warriors era. And quickly, I wanted to make a quick note about the onto the next topic, because I'm gonna have to close this off here in a minute. I want to get a quick note on the sluggish start to the season. I feel like this is such a prototypical thing, you know, for the Red Sox. It seems like every fucking damn year, every time they win the World Series, the next season they go to complete shit. Now they're starting to. I pick it up now. They're 9-13, but, like, they made the mistake. They should have just signed Kimbrel. Give them the fucking money. They don't have a closer. The pitching staff's atrocious. I don't know what's going on with Sale. Eovaldi just had shoulder, elbow surgery or something, which was a concern. That's the big concern about Eovaldi, which why teams were kind of scared off by signing him to that kind of money because of his injury issues. But Martinez is having a good start to the season, which is great. But they need Chris Sale, Porcello, Price. They need them all pitching well. And they need a closer. They need to resign Kimbrel. I don't think they will, but I have more faith in this Red Sox team because of the talent they have turning it around than I did, you know, with 2013, after the 2013 World Series. Because, I mean, that team just wasn't the same. So, I mean, hopefully they can turn it around. I mean, hopefully they can make the playoffs. I still believe in my Sox. But I'm gonna close this first episode of my podcast. Hope you all enjoyed. Yeah, this is the first of many episodes. You know, I hope everybody liked it. Feel free to comment and tell me what you think, and if you agree or disagree, blah blah blah. Anyways, appreciate for you guys listening. Have a good day. Thanks, guys.